It's Friday, August 23rd.
It's Robot and Nonsense Day. It's the end of the week. That's what we like to do, wrap the week up with some robots and nonsense. And it has been said, now I don't know if this is true, maybe you do, but I've heard it said, and I'm sure you have as well, that dogs and bees can smell your fear.
That's probably true.
You think?
Yeah.
Well, you can add one more to the list. The Terminator that's coming to kill you.
From Amazon. Thanks, Jeff Bezos. CNBC says that Amazon says its facial recognition can now identify fear. That's not really the headline here. This is a memo sent to law enforcement that was detailing a really big update for their facial recognition system. It said that it improved accuracy and now detects 7 emotions and also fear. Fear was added new, I guess. It couldn't previously detect fear. So happy, sad, angry, surprised, disgusted, calm, and confused.
That's interesting. I wonder though, because you know, we live in a world where a lot of people, more and more people it seems, struggle with these kinds of social cues. And yet the AI can do it.
That's gonna end badly.
I wonder what the success rate will be.
I mean, I already have a hard time. You know, it's like you get the random roadside checks. Those are Terry stops. Those are not constitutional. And it's like, oh, you know, blah, blah, blah. It's like, this is a Terry stop. It's not constitutional. It's like, well, our Amazon software says that you're surprised and disgusted. It's like, I don't, are you, I'm not going to, like, this is not.
Yeah. When I'm driving, I'm almost always surprised and disgusted. Just because of the other drivers. But I wonder how do you test that, right? Because how can you just generate genuine disgust on command to calibrate the machine?
Well, you obviously hire an actor that has over-exaggerated facial expressions.
But then that's not real. You know, that would be a great way. What if, okay, so we have artificial intelligence is encroaching into sports, right? Like they're measuring strikes, and even in basketball, I think they're doing like the timing for the double dribble and the walking and stuff like that. What if the Academy Awards is judged by AIs one day? It's like, oh, that's genuine disgust. That is amazing. That's amazing acting.
That is exactly the right kind of thinking, because we can employ deepfakes technology to preemptively run that AI on a thing, on a movie, and then have it adjust the actor's reactions in order to get the Emmy.
It's like auto-tune,
yeah,
for wooden acting. What a future we're heading toward, folks. Amazing. Well, you know, you think about that Brave New World, but then you look at a story like this and you got to ask yourself, are we really that close? Maybe these guys just aren't using Amazon, and maybe they should be, because whatever they're using ain't working.
The Los Angeles Times says that facial recognition software mistook 1 in 5 California lawmakers for criminals, says the ACLU. Well, I mean, that seems pretty accurate.
Well, I don't think it got the right kind of crime for them.
Oh.
So, yeah, it looked at, I can't remember how many there are, but 26. So, they looked at 26 and got them wrong. Or accused them of crimes that they didn't commit. Not that they didn't commit crimes. They didn't commit the crimes that the AI accused them of.
Well, this is also surprising because the ACLU used this software using a publicly online booking database that only had 25,000 photos. So 28 people into a database of 25,000 booking photos, and it was a 20% match rate.
Mm-hmm. I noticed that. I mean, you always see those like cosplays. And you look, he's like, my God, that is the same person. There are some people who just look exactly like another person out there.
Hmm.
So what are you going to do about that? The AI just can't deal with that. So AI is hot. Now, we've heard about, remember when blockchain was the thing that did this? It's like you just put the word blockchain in your company and you would get funding overnight.
Blockchain tea company.
And these days, that's AI. You want to say that your company uses AI and people will just throw money at you. But sometimes AI is not really AI. I mean, just a basic computer algorithm is not necessarily AI, right? And then sometimes they go even further and it's not even a computer.
This AI startup claims to automate app making, but actually just uses humans. Who could have seen that coming? According to The Verge.
I was trying to think of, like, what's an acronym that could describe this where the second, the I is Indian. Automated Indians?
Automated Indians.
Because that's what it is. This is an Indian company, and so they, it's sort of like a recipe paint-by-numbers app creator. Like, you go through and answer questions. I want my app to do this. I want it to look like this, and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, oh, the AI is creating your app. No. The Indians are creating your app. And they work for so cheap that it amounts to the same thing. So, not quite the same thing.
Just goes to show you how many people out there are like, oh, I need to get an app in the App Store. It's like the new gold rush. But the only people that will make any, like, it literally does not make economic sense for a programmer in any kind of, like, even in Eastern Europe, where you can live pretty well on less wages than the rest of the world. And certainly if you're in, like, California, it makes zero sense. It literally does not make economic sense to make an app unless it's supported externally by some other economy. Like, if you're going to make an app and sell it for a dollar and expect that to support something, that is far and away not going to happen.
But also, it is overwhelmingly unlikely that your app idea that's simple enough for these guys to build in an hour behind the scenes pretending to be AI is good enough to generate any kind of money. Or they would just do it themselves.
Yeah.
So there might be like one in a million where you actually thought of something novel that no one's thought about doing with an app before. But it's more and more unlikely as each day passes.
Yeah.
So we've talked about this.
This is amazing.
And I'm not going to say that we're geniuses for coming up with this. I'm sure a lot of people thought about this. But it's just like every time we have a story about those adversarial images, it's like, oh, man, I just want to blanket myself in adversarial images. How can I do that? Well, that's not quite what this woman did, but it's similar.
This fashion line is designed to trick surveillance cameras. Adversarial fashion garments are covered in license plates aimed at bamboozling the device's database. So
it's the Constitution broken up into license plates. And it's also brilliant because, you know, every state has a different, like, number of characters and a split or not a split or whatever. So it tries to cover as many as possible. And it shows the image down here where this is the license plate reader catching all these different license plates. They all think she's a motorcycle. I guess she's not large enough to be a car. So, that's a good idea.
That is really good.
And she sold these at DEF CON.
Oh, that's amazing.
You can get dresses, shirts, coats. There was a variety of things that they could make with this pattern.
We made a couple prototypes for things for the Level 1 store, but they never got past the sketch phase.
And you can also get this, which is an adversarial. Scarves, T-shirts, and other fabric items.
This is the future.
It's kind of hard to look at.
Although what will happen is everybody that buys from this, like the feds will just subpoena like Stripe's databases. Like, we want every customer that bought from this online web store, and then you just go on a list.
Yeah. And you'll be more surveilled than ever.
Yeah.
So what you got to do is you got to comb the secondhand stores, like the thrift stores, try to find these that people have shed.
Or tell your enemies at your workplace to get you that in the Christmas gift exchange.
Or buy a bunch of that fabric directly from China.
Huawei. I didn't do this.
Make your own clothes. You could do that. You go on Etsy. So we've learned about what was the name of the one that Google did that where it would make your phone calls for you?
Oh, the assistant.
I can't remember the name of it, but language. AI is getting better and better. And then there was that other one that could read a book and it couldn't understand the language. But then if you ask it a question that was answered in the text of the book, it was able to give you the answer to the question, even though it doesn't really understand language. So AI that understands written text is making huge leaps and bounds. And we used to have this sort of standard to compare it against. Well, these days we need a new standard.
AI researchers launch Superglue, a rigorous benchmark for language understanding. Cease and desist letter inbound in three. toot.
It stands for... I thought it gave that at the top of the article.
It did there somewhere. Basically, it is a whole bunch of... It's a whole battery of tests. They're different kinds of tests for things that we would consider like reading comprehension, but also inference. So, general language understanding and evaluation, GLUE, the GLUE benchmark. So, this is super GLUE. It's not just a glorified search, because what you were describing initially was a glorified search, basically. Like, tell me about this character. Yeah. But this is reading comprehension, inference, a whole bunch of things like that that you pick up from reading. So, it's like if something, like if the text says if something, then something else, then another thing, it's inferred that the condition was something else without it directly being stated in the text. This would catch that because it is building some type of model of understanding for the language.
So basically, the old set of rules was too permissive because we got this great new technology, so now we need a more complex set of rules, and this is it. So if you want to work on AI that understands language, you need to download this and set your AI against it to judge how good it is.
Just little things like everyone was wearing blue and Dave was also wearing red. Then the question is like, was Dave wearing blue? And it's like the super glue would say yes, but the other AI would be like, I don't know, here's the text.
That would be a terribly written book.
Yeah.
With that line in it.
Yeah.
Speaking of reading... the world has moved on to audiobooks, it seems. I cannot get into audiobooks. Have you tried audiobooks?
Audiobooks are useful when my eyes are very tired, or like sometimes I like to just go for a walk and I like to listen to an audiobook while I go for a walk.
I just can't. I don't know. You know that thing where you're reading something really boring or you're really tired and you'll read without comprehending?
Yeah.
I do that with audiobooks.
Oh, wow.
I just like... It's like, oh, I've been listening to this droning for the last minute, but I haven't been storing any of it. I don't know why I'm like that, but I'd much rather actually have the text. But I guess I'm in the minority. Now, the thing about it is, reading an audiobook can be really a long and arduous process.
Yeah.
Especially when it's a celebrity-written book, and that celebrity is barely literate, as it is, and it was written by a ghostwriter. So we have a solution.
AI reads books out loud in authors' voices, and it's pretty darn good. The BBC has some examples here. This is a Chinese technology. It's a little scary. It doesn't really need that much of the author's original voice in order to do this.
1 minute, they say.
Yeah.
A 1 minute clip. Now, during that minute, I think you're going through vocal exercises.
Yeah.
So you're saying something very specific. Yeah. But still... That's better than... I mean, how many hours do you think it takes to read your book?
Well, there was another article a few years ago about Google, when Google was working on that virtual assistant AI that you were talking about, a couple of... I mean, it was hours and hours and hours of audio to train the AI just so that the inflection would be right and it would not sound robotic.
And they only had the one voice. It was a female voice.
Yeah.
So this company claims, hey, come to us, we'll take your book, you record a minute's worth of audio, and then your book will be read by you, and we'll sell it online for you.
I'm not really sure, like, who was it that wrote Masters of Doom? That was one of the audiobooks that I really remember, because Will Wheaton narrated it, and he did an amazing job narrating it, and if he was not, I don't think he was the author of Masters of Doom, and I would much rather have him narrate it than the actual author, if that's the case.
Yeah, there's definitely, yeah. But I imagine... Now, I don't think this AI could do that kind of job. Mm. I imagine it's kind of monotone. And it wouldn't know when to ramp up, you know, the drama.
I'm playing with the screw. It's fine.
Everybody noticed. Everybody dislikes that.
It's like, what's that noise? I keep... Is my headphone cable going bad?
Oh, there's this old problem in computer science about routing things, especially traffic.
The traveling salesman problem.
Yeah. And it becomes more and more complicated the more salesmen you add to it. And it's famously, UPS apparently did this. Remember, like, the don't turn left?
Yeah.
And they came up with an algorithm, saved them an insane amount of fuel. And now, perhaps the buses will benefit from it.
How one city saved $5 million by routing school buses with an algorithm. So this was a challenge. They issued a challenge to a whole bunch of companies, and some smarties from MIT figured it out. But the crazy thing about this is that the buses run for less time, have fewer stops. The children spend an average less time on the bus. They get to school sooner, and they save $5 million. Like, you get, they had their cake and eat it too, basically, with this algorithm.
And I think you had to spend less than an hour on a bus.
Yeah, that was one of the rules.
Per day.
Well, actually, there's a lot of rules. So it's like, if you're a student that's been in a fight before, you have a special bus. If you have special needs, you have a special bus. If you have to be, you know, picked up and dropped off at your door, you have a special bus. If you're in a problem neighborhood, that's treated differently than like regular neighborhoods.
Now, one thing they were able to do here, which was interesting, is I think they were able to move at least somewhat the starting time of the schools.
Yeah, well, it said that the algorithm was saying that high schools, like, it wanted the grade schools to start earlier and the high schools to start later, but parents really wanted the kids to be out of the house by, like, 8 or 8:30, and the algorithm was like, we need to have students here at, like, you know, 8:30 or after because it'll make everything easier, and parents were just like, no.
Yeah, so I don't think the parents should get any consideration in that. They're getting a free education, aren't they? Just deal with your little monsters for another 30 minutes. So, but that is very cool, and that is a problem. Now, this is not perfect by any means, but it's $5 million better than what they had before.
Yeah, the human routers, those literally is what they're called, human routers, bus routers, still make adjustments to what the algorithm comes up with. They're working on a second version of the algorithm where the humans can feed new rules into it in the middle of the school year and have it run stuff. But right now it's so complicated, they only run it in summers and then tweak it by hand, you know, during the school year.
That's a job that's not going to exist in 5 years.
The school bus router?
Yeah.
It talked about how they had like 10 different routers that would work for hours and hours and hours on this. And then later in the article, it was like, and then there's 5 school bus routers. And it's like, oh, I'm sorry, guys.
What else are you qualified for? You've been doing that for 25 years.
Maybe some
manufacturing, like assembly line stuff.
There's a lot of opportunity for the whole traveling salesperson problem. But honestly, those guys could probably go to MIT and learn the computer science that they need and probably be like really amazing people for dealing with that.
You're telling me a Massachusetts public school employee is going to go to MIT? Come on.
Well, perhaps that is a bit optimistic.
That might be out of their financial ability. Have you looked at college educations?
Oh, yeah.
MIT's not a cheap one. let's talk about self-driving trucks. Now, this is the way that you do self-driving trucks. Because how many articles have we seen where it's like, exciting new self-driving truck. It's going to be amazing. We're going to test it. And then you never hear about it again.
Self-driving truck hit, you know, pedestrian, then burst into flames in rural Nevada.
Yeah. Where are all those Waymos that were supposed to be? You know, we're supposed to have them by now, right? Well, UPS went the other way, and I applaud them for it.
UPS has been delivering cargo in self-driving trucks for months, and no one knew. So this is the shipping, like point-to-point shipping. This is not end-user cargo, but this is more like they're
getting between the hubs, I think.
Yeah, and they're self-driving, which is pretty amazing.
Now, they do still have people in them. There's a picture. You get an engineer and an observer. But that's because they are not level 4 autonomous yet. They're level 3. Now, these people, I don't think they've had to do anything yet. But they have to be there until they hit level 4. And so,
which is going to be as soon as next year.
Yeah, well, we hope. Who knows, though? But this is a company called Too Simple. It's not UPS themselves, but they've partnered with Too Simple. And they have these, it's a LiDAR self-driving system, which is not what Tesla uses.
In before, I think all the Tesla people have stopped watching.
I bet you saying that will disprove that.
Engagement challenge.
I didn't even include, did you see the story about how, it was a German company, I think. It was a fleet management company, and they bought $5 million worth of Teslas, and after they got the first 15, they canceled the order. Because they were like, these are not consistent at all. nothing about these cars. Like, the number three is wildly different than number one. You need quality control. And Tesla was like, oh, whatever. So they canceled a $5 million order.
Wow.
Delivery robots. I love the idea of the delivery robot. Now, once again, we live too far away from the city. We're never going to get these beautiful little robots delivering to our places. But
they would be vandalized immediately.
Oh,
anyway.
It would be stolen. People will be stripping parts out of these things and selling them on eBay. But I love the idea of it. And this company has a particularly adorable little robot.
Postmates has landed a permit to test its Serve autonomous delivery robots in San Francisco. There are some catches here. It can't go over 3 miles an hour.
That's pretty slow.
And it has to have an employee within 30 feet of it.
What a miserable job. You're walking all day, but you're walking slower than 3 miles an hour just following a stupid robot around. Now, this is the same as many other delivery robots. And this is the biggest catch in my mind. When I think of a delivery robot, I think of a delivery robot that just comes and like poops my package out onto my porch and moves on with his day. No, you have to go and interact with the touch screen and unlock him and get your thing out. That's a big caveat.
It's a big ask.
And also you got that guy just creeping on your property.
Yeah.
20 yards away.
Well, I mean, what happens if this thing shows up when I'm on the crapper? Is it going to hang around outside? Is it what
I imagine it's on a tight schedule.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Actually, San Francisco made them on a tight schedule. It can only operate between like 9 a.m. and 6 p.m.
Oh, it's going to be
like
daylight
that.
Hours.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Maybe someday. I don't understand. I think we'll probably. Don't you think that the flying drones will outpace these land vehicles?
I would think so. Yeah. I mean, for things like pizza delivery, I want the thing to basically just pneumatically launch the pizza onto my porch. Like, I want it to do the calculation to figure out, you know, what angle and velocity to launch the pizza so that it lands perfectly and doesn't screw it up, and it's just on my porch.
I will buy a drone compatible patio couch.
Yeah.
And that can be a standard.
Yeah.
And that can withstand, you know, like a 20-yard drop with a pizza box with a little parachute on it. Yeah, that's fine. But yeah, I think at 3 miles an hour, now this does make sense, and I think we've done stories before, like a college campus, stuff like that. Old folks home.
Yeah.
So maybe they have a use there, but just it seems like the flying drones are gonna beat them out.
I've seen our old people robot future, and it's in. I don't know if it's still on Netflix, but there was. It seems like it was a made for Netflix movie. It seemed like Kevin Spacey had an uncredited. It's somebody that sounded like Kevin Spacey. I think was voicing the robot or something. But the movie was Robot and Frank, and it was like an old retired cat burglar, and then he gets like the elderly assisted, you know, helper robot, and then they go off cat burglaring together because the robot is like, well, it helps him get out of the house because he's old and he doesn't want to do anything.
Is crime a lesser evil than your ward not getting his exercise? That could be one of those like robot decisions. You know?
I thought it was pretty funny and kind of good. So, yeah.
Well, we know about the Spot robots from Boston Dynamics. We've seen those amazing videos. I guess those are on sale at this point, right?
Yeah. Well, I think so.
So, interesting that Spot now has a little bit of competition. Now, this company, Spot, I think it's interesting because Spot doesn't have a head.
Yeah.
And yet, I find Spot more adorable than this one.
Yeah. This is Geek.com has the robot dog Astro can sit, lie down, and save lives. It looks a little bit like a True Value Spot.
Maybe the cheapness of it. Now, that top part is 3D printed, which is accounts for some of its ugliness, I suppose we'll say. But yeah, Spot, or this Astro, does a lot of the same things that Spot does.
Yeah.
Now, they're saying in the future, there are some processing power in that head. And they want to add a lot of AI and image recognition and stuff like that and make it do a lot of other things. It doesn't do those right now.
No. Although there is an analog for this, and that's the Sony Aibo. And the Aibo was insanely popular.
So here he is.
So, yeah, I mean, just...
He's... it doesn't seem as spry as Spot.
Yeah. Is this like the reject spots? Maybe they've got some kind of a deal.
Although he is very similar in terms of his movement and his little leg nubs and stuff like that.
Oh, that's probably too much.
So, there you go. If you'd like to have an Astro, maybe he'll get better as time goes by. Although, my pets have not gotten better.
That was the cool thing about the Sony Aibo, is that you could get software updates and things like that after the fact, and it would change the dog's personality. And you know, people were spending thousands of dollars having their Aibo repaired, and because you could teach it things, and you know, it would definitely have a personality over time after having dealt with you.
Yeah, my cats have that too. It's a negative. This story, if this were April, I would just go ahead and assume this was fake. But seems to be real. I don't think they've necessarily done this, but they're saying that they could do it. I don't know.
Scientists propose training mice to detect deepfakes. So they talk about how mice have the same mechanical bits for audio as humans, but lack the same neurological bits. So they should be able to hear what humans hear, but they won't have the same neurological filtering or anything like that. So if deepfakes are messing with audio, the mice should be able to detect it more readily than humans can.
It's kind of like that, you know how your mind, they can print text and leave out all the vowels and put certain things backwards, and you'll read it and you didn't realize anything was wrong with it. Well, we have an auditory repair function that works similarly. And deepfakes manipulates that. Even though it's saying something wrong, you're sort of auto-correcting it. So a mouse is dumb enough that it won't auto-correct it, and it'll notice. And that's what they're banking on, being a way to capture the deepfakes. Which, how do you think a mouse signals that it's found a deepfake?
Well, it has to be trained somehow. So it's probably going to be like, you know, going to press a button or like moving around on a touch screen or squeaking or something. But it has to be trained to do that.
Do you think that's a fulfilling lifestyle for a mouse? Doing that all day?
Probably about the time you get it trained up real good, it dies.
How many days can you work a mouse detecting deepfakes? Does he have to have a counselor on staff in case he sees something terrible in the deepfake?
Wow, that is a dystopian future. What if we get to a point where we're training animals to deal with like disturbing imagery because human beings literally cannot do it?
That's dark. That is definitely a form of animal slavery, I feel. I mean, I'm no PETA supporter, but I don't know if we should be doing that to the mice. That's funny because some of the Facebook videos they mentioned were people killing pets.
Yeah.
So then we have pets watching people kill other pets to detect.
It's a dark timeline.
It's a dark spiral. Moving on to nonsense. And this one I just couldn't help but include. Again, seems like April Fool's, right? But no, I guess it's real.
Pumpkin Spice Spam is going to drop this fall. Now, Spam, of course, is the pinnacle of artificial food technology. And now we're going to have Pumpkin Spice Spam.
Spam is something like 10% meat, I think, right?
Not even.
Is it 5?
It's like the leftover parts that no one wants.
It's mechanically separated. I can't imagine what that is. That, like, you know, you kind of try to imagine a taste. I can't do it. I can't imagine Pumpkin Spice Spam. But it's coming. Get yourself a can. Maybe just get it for collectible purposes.
Maybe we can eat some of it live on stream.
Why would we do that to ourselves?
For the money.
Well, for the money, it seems like a lot of people these days do something just for the attention.
The lulls.
And yet it's anonymous. You really have to wonder why.
Man wearing a TV on his head has been caught on camera leaving old TVs on Virginia front porches. About 50 of them. And here's the really mind-blowing thing. This happened last year at the same time.
So, let's see if we can catch a frame of it here. Oh, there he is. Oh, wait. Yep. There he is. Oh, wow. They're not showing you much of it, are they? It's a guy with a TV on his head. He leaves the TV. He waves. He knows there's a ring watching him.
Neat.
So the cops collected it. They said that there was no crime, although I think trespassing would be on there.
Illegal, right? Dumping is what they plan to charge him with.
Illegal dumping is the crime. Wonder what they did with the TVs.
Well, the TVs were operational, though, is the thing. I mean, it's just that people just didn't want them. So, I mean, is it trash? I don't know.
Where do you source that many tube TVs?
It'd be funny if he owns a warehouse full of tube TVs, because that is actually a recycling problem. There was a recycling initiative for TVs not long ago, and we lacked the technology to properly recycle TVs, but there are valuable components in them like copper. And so a lot of the recycling companies for TVs just stored them in warehouses, hoping that in the future the technology for recycling a TV would become affordable and that they would be able to turn a profit.
Well, they got that coating on the screen.
That never happened. So there's lots and lots of very, very temporarily constructed buildings that are all over America filled with TVs that are meant to be recycled, but the technology to recycle those TVs affordably has never happened.
Good news if you're shooting a TV show or a movie that's a 90s period piece.
You could just go to one of those warehouses and get literally any tube. Yeah.
Well, I thought about you when I read this one, because I don't know if this is a choice. Now, I would definitely choose no internet access if I was on vacation. What about you?
No, probably not. Americans would rather get food poisoning on vacation than not have internet access. I would be okay not having internet access if I knew that somebody was babysitting the important things that I might have to deal with on the internet access side of things.
But if you have food poisoning, can you really commit to doing those things anyway?
No, I guess that's true.
So they have a little infographic down here. So 3 and 4 say they have to have internet, right? 49% said no internet would be a vacation disaster. I think a lot of people would say that that's the reason to go. Lost luggage. Now I can see that being a big one. And then internet access, and then of course food poisoning coming in at number 3. Lost credit card.
Lost credit card is surprisingly easy to rectify, even when you're traveling, which is also a bit scary.
I will say this. I recently had my air conditioner go out while I had the flu. If I had to choose one, I'd take the flu over the air conditioner being out. I wouldn't have said that before it happened, but now that it happened, you got to have that AC. Yeah. It was a heat wave. It was brutal. And it was only 2 nights.
Did they what ended up being the problem there? Was it the compressor or was it?
It was the compressor capacitor.
Oh, okay. Well, that's not as bad.
It couldn't get started.
I could have actually given you one if it was just the capacitor.
But I did learn that it's 21 years old, so
it's going to go any day.
Yeah,
though.
It's not long for this world. We have heard about people doing some pretty stupid things to their bodies, and honestly.
Tesla owner implanted an RFID chip from her Model 3's key card into her arm. There it is in the tube there. It's pretty big. She said that it's a little swollen, and so her arm has to be an inch away from the console to activate the car, but it works.
I don't understand. I don't think swelling would affect that. Because swelling is mostly fluid, right? Is that going to reduce the
radio waves, maybe?
There's a picture.
It's fine. This isn't the first implant that she had, though. Her other arm.
We switched to.
Her other arm has a different implant for opening her her house and sending people to her webpage.
It's tough to see because the thumbnail didn't render correctly, but it's a few times I've seen two people that I've immediately disliked more.
Womp womp.
So, congratulations, I guess, on your Tesla and your hipster bullshit. So, another thing that sets me off, other than the self-mutilation, is personalized license plates. Oh, God, I hate them. I hate them with such a passion because it's all about attention. It's just attention-seeking, and that's the worst thing that you can be, is an attention-seeking person. This guy got his... just desserts.
He tried to prank the DMV. Then his vanity license plate backfired big time.
This is not the plate.
This is not the plate, no. The plate is null. And so Everything was fine. So, like, he was trying to, like, license plate readers. It's like, oh, the license plate is literally null.
It can't get a read, basically.
Yeah. And so everything was fine until he got a parking ticket. And then he got all the parking tickets.
So here's a screenshot where, you know, the readers get null values. And it's stored as null. And it can't find a match. Until this guy. Then it found all the matches. $12,000.
Nice.
So he had to go and plead his case. And you can imagine trying to explain that to a cop and a judge.
They were like, you should change your license plate. And he's like, no, I didn't do anything wrong.
But you know what? He did do something wrong. He got a personalized license plate. This one is hopelessly blocked.
Oh, that's fine. I remember this one. It was really funny.
Yeah. So this, on one hand, yeah, this is probably a bad thing to do. On the other hand, he was pulled over.
Yeah.
So.
Washington State Patrol has found a driver playing Pokemon Go on 8 phones at once. So this was near an airport or something, and some guy pulled over to the shoulder because there was, you know, something happening.
It was a Pokemon.
And so he was playing on 8 phones, collecting the thing or whatever. A patrolman stopped because they thought the car was disabled or whatever.
It was a no-stopping shoulder. Okay. Emergency only.
So he's like, you can't stop here. You're going to have to put your phones in the back. And he's like, oh, okay.
But the guy had actually bought a big piece of foam and cut out so he could charge and operate all of his phones with, like, one, you know, monolithic thing to hold. Have you ever seen the picture of, I don't know if it's China or Japan, but it's a guy. He's on a bike, and he has, like, a giant array of phones in front of him.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So, like, it's not as quite as hardcore as that.
It's funny, when I went to Computex, I was hanging out with Luke from Linus Tech Tips, and he was collecting, like, there's certain kind of Pokemon that are only in Taiwan or only in Asian countries, and so he was collecting them for all of his friends. And so we were just wandering around, and he's like, okay, we need to go this way to get whatever. And it was scary how many other people there were that were just doing that. Like, we would just be, like, at a random fountain or somewhere, and then there would be, like, 6 other people. And the way that you can tell is everybody has got a battery pack hooked up to their phone.
But were those people tourists, or were they Taiwanese?
No, it was a mix, but there were a lot of Taiwanese people there as well. And, like, everybody looks at everybody else, and they just sort of smile. So there was a moment of bonding. It was sort of cool.
Well, that when Pokemon Go came out, it was known to, like, actually bring people together.
Yeah, it definitely did. Yeah. And, like, they were working together to, like, fight something else, and it was just, I don't know, it was...
Now, I remember the Twitch chat was talking about now there's going to be that Minecraft game.
Oh, yeah, the Minecraft augmented reality thing.
That is, real places have Minecraft stuff. And I wonder what's going to happen if you have a really desirable resource on your property.
It's probably going to end badly.
Somebody's going to get shot. This story, so every time I see a headline like this, I can't help but think, okay, what you're saying is probably true from your data, but you're taking out the fact that this is only the people that agreed to the survey, and that colors it a lot.
Well, it's also from Psychology Today, which probably also colors it a lot. But the headline is, people who use more emojis have more sex and get more dates.
Another headline could be, basic bitches who are easy also respond to emojis. But they had some numbers, you know, basically. Okay, so 38% said they never do, 29% hardly ever do, 28% regularly, and 3% use one in every text. Can you imagine communicating with that person? But apparently that 3% is, you know, really cleaning up on Tinder. So, nah, who are we to judge?
They're breeding the next generation of superbugs.
That's a good thing to think about, right? Yeah. Not only are we going to get overpopulated, but it's going to be like super chlamydia.
And it's all thanks to emoji. So what you're saying is, if we outlaw emoji, it's going
to
help.
We have to ban the eggplant immediately. All right,
That's it for this week. We'll see you next week. And Krista should be back.
Hopefully Krista will be back with to regale us with stories of honeymoon adventures. Not those stories. The daytime activities I'm talking about.
Well, we don't know.
We're going to get demonetized.